we all went back to training school because obviously all of our kit was there. We dispersed from the training school. Now, I was very lucky because having been a frontline police officer for a number of years, my wife and my two lads who at that stage were quite small, they were used to me dealing with traumatic incidents. And so we had almost a set routine, or my wife did, for dealing with these things. And she knew I'd be interested in the news to watch what had gone on from the outside. So I went home, and my tea was presented to me, and I sat on the sofa with my two boys on either side and watched the news, and I can remember bursting into tears. Well, you do deal with it, but no matter how much you deal with it, there are still things that will remain and be a trigger.
And what do you think triggered that particularly?
I think it's the knowledge of them and the fact that it was such a soft target. You know, it was open. They'd had a dance the night before. It was absolutely wide open. The MOD knew it was a soft target. We'd got civilian contractors guarding the place. We were in the middle of an IRA campaign. And it was such a soft target that, well, one man could have walked in there and planted the bomb. And I think the town feels disappointed with the MOD because the Marines were a lot to deal before the bombing. And the bombing cemented the Marines with deal with something that I don't think will ever be broken. But for the IRA to bomb these people, because these people in war are stretcher bearers, you know, so they're not, although every Marine is a combatant, they're right at the left field of combat. They're not Marine commandos. They're the guys who go in and make sure that, you know, people are saved. And for the IRA to do this was beyond contempt.